John 15 and verse 4 says, "Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you." Heavenly Father, I ask you for divine utterance today to speak your word. Shut me in with you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, most of us are familiar with this passage of Scripture. In theory, we know what Jesus is saying. But do we practically live this way? In America, we are privileged to have access to the Word of God. Amen? And we can sit and listen to preaching and teaching all day long. I mean, there's stuff on the net. Anywhere you go, there's preaching and teaching going on. Not that we agree with everything that's being taught, but we have access and we have the Word of God. We have Bibles. We can get into the Word and we can pray and ask God to teach us and instruct us in His ways. And we've got a lot of information. American Christians are, well, maybe I shouldn't say that, but in comparison to many in the world, are very educated. However, I think in our day and age, our young people are growing up very uneducated as far as the Word of God is concerned. And, you know, my people perish for what? Lack of knowledge. What we don't know can hurt us. And so we're good at you know, gathering information, and some people are very clever. They have very sharp minds, and they can quote Scripture, and they can impress people with their knowledge. But if it's not of the Spirit, it's just a dead letter, and the dead letter destroys. We need the Spirit and the Word working together. The Spirit and the Word together is life. That's why sometimes, even when we're reading, sometimes it seems like the Bible is a dead letter. But if we pray and we ask God to teach us, and we're patient and we wait, and we continue to read anyways, all of a sudden, God will begin to highlight it. It will begin to come alive. It will be breathed into us. Amen? It will become life-giving, a life-giving word. And so we need to pay attention to the passages that we're reading that God is highlighting, because God is speaking to us. And sometimes, you know, we blow over those times and we're not paying attention. And there are many things that we understand in theory, and we can teach on it, we can quote it, but in practice, do we know it? Do we practically know it? Do we practically live the Word? How many know we got to get beyond theory to living the Word? And there are many Christians who have great knowledge and understanding of the Word, yet are not living the Word. So God wants us to get to the place where we are receiving what He says and acting upon what He says. And sometimes we're asking God to give us more. Give me more, God. Give me more, God. But we're not faithful to what He's already given us. He said, "Be faithful in little, I'll make you ruler of much. First, be faithful with the thing I've given in your hand." Amen? Because we can accumulate a lot of knowledge, and if it's not coupled with a relationship with God and the Spirit through Jesus, then it becomes head knowledge, and knowledge puffeth up. Amen? Come on, it makes us proud of what we know. And yet, that's not going to help. Amen. It's in humility. It's in understanding that I don't have it to give. I may have an education in the Word, and yet I don't have it to give except by the Spirit of God. When it's the Spirit of God, it is life-giving. When we hear sermons, they need to be life-giving sermons. They need to be sermons that are preached by the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven. And then people are quickened. Then hearts are changed. I cannot save anybody. I cannot change anybody. I try to, but I can't. I've tried a lot to help and change people, but God keeps reminding me, it's not of you. It's got to be me through you. And that means that I have to come to the place of emptiness, of brokenness, of a poorness, of a poverty of spirit that says, God, I'm desperate. I'm desperate for your presence and for the word of the Lord. What is the word for the Lord today, Lord? We need to hear from God. Amen? We don't need another Bible study. We need to hear from God, and we need to practice what we're receiving. Come on, you know, too much of the church is stagnant because there's no application. I can't preach, teach, bless, do anything, you know, really of any effect without Him. Romans 7:18, Paul says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find." Now, I hear this quoted sometimes as an excuse for people to live in the flesh. What is he saying? There's got to be a separation in your heart between your soulish person and the spirit man. There has to be a circumcision of the heart. The soul has to be submitted to the Holy Spirit, amen, who dwells in our spirit. To be spiritual means to operate from the spirit with the mind under submission to the spirit. And Paul is saying, in my natural fleshly or Adamic nature, my flesh, there is zero good. Do you understand? He's saying there is zero good in my flesh. That's what he's saying. Now, the flesh hates to hear that. The flesh wants to exalt itself. The Adamic nature wants to be seen and recognized and praised and heard and say, "Aren't you wonderful?" Yet if we're going to be the servants of Christ, it cannot be an exaltation of the sin or self nature. It has to be an exaltation of Christ. The Holy Spirit always exalts Jesus. He's never bringing attention to the vessel. And God is constantly having to reel me in because all of us have that tendency. It's that other part of us that wants to be recognized. Mm-hmm. And that's the part of us that we have to die to. Because if we don't die to that part, then when persecution comes, we're not going to stand. If we don't learn now in the little things and the little assignments and the little oppositions that we're having now, how to deny ourselves, how to be able to bless somebody who curses us, pray for somebody who despitefully uses us and persecutes us, how are we going to do it if they're putting a gun up to our head and said, "Deny Christ"? By the grace of God, we can overcome. Amen? But do you understand that we are learning now? God has us in the dressing room of eternity. He's equipping and preparing His people now for what is coming. We are going to shine the brightest when it's the darkest. We were made for the night. We're going to light up the night. It's impossible for the old Adamic nature, that flesh nature that rebels against what God says, that doesn't like to hear the truth. Are you hearing me? If there's a part of you that doesn't like to hear these messages that says, "I don't want to hear that," that's the part of you that has to die. I don't always like to hear what's true, but it's good for me. And it's only the truth that sets you free. Now, once again, folks, Jesus didn't just come to forgive our sins. He came to save us from our sins. He came to deliver us from the power of sin. You see, people can come to God and be sorry and ask God to forgive them, and He can cleanse them. But God didn't just come to cleanse us from sin. He came to deliver us from the power of sin so that we could walk in His righteousness. So that we could live in holiness, because God does require holiness. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. That is a great deception today, where people justify themselves. As a matter of fact, Jesus said of the Pharisees, "You are those who justify yourselves." You justify yourselves and compare yourselves with yourselves. And you give yourself grace and you say, "You're all right. You're not like that guy over there. Thank God I'm not like other men." But that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination to God. Do you understand that whenever we try to justify ourselves, it's an abomination to God? Why? The flesh has to die. The Adamic nature has to be starved out. It has to be denied daily. It has to be put to death. We must not yield any longer to the sin nature, for Christ has set us free from sin. Consider yourself dead to sin, but alive unto God. Walk in new life. Walk in the victory that Christ has secured for us at the cross. Jesus has overcome the world. Hallelujah. And we have Him, His Spirit. In the Old Testament, the Spirit of God came upon prophets, priests, and kings. Today, we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. Hallelujah. If you're born again. And out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. We have an advantage today. Romans 8:7 says, "The sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will." In other words, you cannot patch up your old life. We try to patch up sometimes, people, you know. Well, we'll just put a little gauze on that and patch up the hole and, you know, make it look pretty on the outside. Jesus said you cannot put new wine into what? An old wineskin. You have to discard the old wineskin. You have to utterly disown yourself in order to be His disciple. You have to be willing to lay your life down, take up your cross and say, "Jesus, I'm with You now." This is the cost of discipleship, folks. It's not a patch job. It's not self-improvement. It's not having your best life now. We are living for eternity. We are living for that which will be. Amen. And now is the time when we commit ourselves every day to God and say, "Lord, here's my life. I offer my body back to You as a living sacrifice. It's my reasonable service." In Romans 8:8, it says, that's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. You know, people, sometimes we do things because it makes us feel good. Do you understand that sometimes our service is actually selfish? It is. I've done it. Have you? I've done things because it made me feel good. Have I done it out of love for Christ, or did I do it because I wanted to feel good? Or maybe I just need to appease my conscience. Yeah, I'm still a rotten egg, but if I just do a couple good things, I'll feel better about myself. What are you doing? You're trying to patch up something. Jesus said you must repent. You must turn away from yourself. You know, too many of us are preoccupied with rebuking the devil, chasing the devil around. Amen? If we would take ourselves, the devil can't touch you. Sometimes the reason why people are under such attack and torment by the enemy is because of sin that they have not repented of or are not willing to repent of, and they've given license for the enemy to beat them around. If we would get our hearts right with God, be pure before God, be humble before God, be honest before God, and say, God, I know that I don't have what it takes to live this life. I'm laying my life down, God, because I want your life. I want you to live in me. I want you to move in me. I want you to make me holy. I can't make myself holy, can you? I can change behaviors, and we should, but it should be a result of an internal condition called the circumcision of the heart, a separation, amen, that I'm no longer going to live according to that old rule, the old nature, the sin nature. I'm not going to live in death. I'm going to live in life. God does not accept anything from the Adamic nature, the one that we were born with. Nothing. Why? Because it is totally sold under sin. And that's why Jesus came, folks, not just to cleanse, but to deliver, to save us from the power of sin. And this is why there are many who sit in churches, many Christians who never have victory, because they don't understand the difference between being set free from sin and just going up and weeping at an altar and saying, God, I'm sorry, and God has mercy, God will forgive. But he also tells us, now go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. How many people have come down to an altar in a moment of emotionalism maybe and but said, God, I'll live for you, I've done it. You get me out of this, I'll do whatever you say. And we get right back up and we go right back into the hog pen. Why? Because we haven't repented. We haven't repented in our hearts. Repentance says, I am done with my life, with my way. I'm now ready for his life and his way. There is no middle ground. God said, I'll spit you out. Yeah. Be hot or cold. He doesn't want lukewarmness. We are going to live in life or live in death. You cannot live in between. And I believe, and you've heard me say this before, but we're living in that time right now where I believe there is a line in the sand and God is sorting things out. Amen? And people who want to ride the fence are going to fall one way or the other. There's a tipping point right now. And it's happening in the body of Christ. Many people are being shaken. If you do not have a good foundation because you have an honest heart with God and you've gotten your heart right and established in Christ, amen, then you're not going to be able to stand up in the days ahead. I cannot survive without his presence. I cannot survive without the Lord, amen, helping me every day as I realize that I don't have what it takes to live for him. I need his grace. Pray, lest you fall prey. In Romans 7:14, Paul says, I'm carnal, I'm sold under sin. See, the old Adamic nature, hear this please, has a casual attitude towards sin. If you and I have a casual attitude about sin, how many know that's not the Spirit of God? God has not changed. God hates sin. The part of us that would have a casual attitude about sin is the Adamic nature that's sold into sin, that has sympathy about sin. If we yield to that nature, if we have sympathy towards sin in any area of our lives, then that is a place where the devil can camp out and mess with you. If God says no, it's no. You know, I've had people come up and say, well, my boyfriend and I are living together, but we have this agreement with God, and, you know, we're just kind of, you know. I says, well, if God says no, it's no. If he says yes, it's yes. Folks, we need to tremble at God's word. What did Jesus say? What does Jesus teach? What did he preach? You see, we can get involved with doing a lot of good things. And we might get a Nobel Prize for doing it. We might get recognition for doing it. But when we start to do things in the name and for the name of Jesus, how come the Dalai Lama doesn't recognize me now? How come the United Nations isn't calling me up now and recognizing me because I'm doing it in the name of Jesus now? But we can do all kinds of charity work and good things because it makes us feel better about ourselves. But it's really the Adamic nature doing it because you're just pacifying yourself. You're just putting a patch. Come on. I'm not opposed because God says to take care of the poor. Amen. But let me ask you this. What if someone had come and offered money and assistance to the prodigal son? He wouldn't have found his way back. Do you understand? Sometimes, folks, we're actually getting in the way of what God is trying to do in somebody's life by helping them. There are many people, I believe, that are going to miss heaven because somebody threw an artificial security blanket in their path to help them out of a temporary inconvenience. Yet God might have allowed that to bring that person to the end of themselves, to get desperate enough to truly repent from their heart so He can have mercy on them. Are you hearing me today? We have to find out, what is God saying here? Does God say help, or does God say don't help? Amen? We got to listen to His voice. People get mad at you or angry, and they try to work on your emotions to get you to do stuff for them. Well, aren't you a Christian? Aren't you supposed to help? No. Come on. And they're full of themselves. Well, what are you doing for Jesus? You're doing for yourself pretty good. What are you doing for Jesus? If I read my Bible correctly, it says I'm supposed to deny myself. Do you know you're a brother or your sister in the Lord? We're going to do what we can to help you. You know that. But you folks, what Jesus was talking about was the Jewish community and the prodigal son, and how they were together, and they were one family, they were brethren. And so when He was talking about ministering to this one that had fallen, He was talking about ministering to the family. And we know, according to Galatians 6, that we, the church, are the Israel of God. So we see that what we see in Jesus' teachings apply to His church today. Does God still have a plan for the nation of Israel? Absolutely. Read Romans 11. But we, as His people, are grafted in. Amen? We're grafted in to the olive tree. And we receive the benefits of the promises that God gave to Abraham. But living in the Spirit requires suffering. It requires being misunderstood. It requires you and I not cursing someone who curses us. It requires us forgiving people who hurt us. It praying for people who despitefully use us and persecute us. It requires me saying no to that part of me that wants to get back, that wants vengeance, that wants to get even. Even, folks, if I would rather have people lie about me and have my heart right with God. Because He's watching. We cannot have a casual attitude towards sin. If that's the case, then you're really living out of the Adamic nature. If that's your attitude, that part of you has to die. You know, folks, if you're truly born again, you will begin to hate sin. That was a weak amen. But isn't it true? When you're born again, all of a sudden it's like what you used to think was normal is abnormal now. I don't want to do that anymore. I want to live for God now. And when I sin, something inside me says, ah. 1 John 3:9, whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. In this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. In the New Living Translation, it says it this way: those who have been born into God's family do not make a practice of sinning because God's life is in them. So they can't keep on sinning because they are children of God. So now we can tell who are children of God and who are children of the devil. Anyone who does not live righteously and does not love other believers does not belong to God. That's the Word of God. As believers, yes, we're going to contend with the Adamic nature. But we have the power now in Christ to overcome the Adamic nature. Folks, I truly believe that many people are going to go to hell because of their attitude towards sin. A wrong attitude towards sin is going to keep people from going to heaven. People who refuse to repent of sin will not go to heaven. They will not inherit the kingdom. 1 Corinthians 6:9, look it up. It's one thing to confess sin, but it's quite another to forsake it. Repentance is forsaking it. Repentance is when God, the Holy Spirit, gets a hold of you and the fear of God begins to work in your heart and brings you to an awareness of your true condition, and you begin to tremble under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And it produces in us a thing that is called godly sorrow. Godly sorrow works repentance. Godly sorrow means I'm sorry enough that I'm not going to do it anymore. I repent. I turn away. Ebenezer Scrooge, amen, he woke up and he said, hey, it's a new day. I'm not living at that like that old miser anymore. Repentance is from the heart. We can impress people. We can make people think we're all that. We can come to church and put on the airs, but God knows who we really are, where we really live, in the secret place, in the secret life. When we step outside these walls, God knows. It's all in the book, folks. And each one of us are going to line up and see Jesus someday and give an account of our lives to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who doesn't miss a thing. And the only thing we're going to be able to do is say, God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Jesus, forgive me. Blot out my sins. Set me free from sin. Ask the Lord to destroy the work of sin in your heart. Lord, destroy the work of sin in my life. I want to be pure. I want to be your bride. I want to be holy. I want to be ready for the day when I see you. Because tomorrow is not promised to anyone. And there's that part of us that says, I don't like to hear this stuff, but you know, this is the truth. And it's only the truth that sets people free. God wants us free from sin. He doesn't want us as slaves, amen? He wants us as sons and daughters, walking in the liberty of being set free in Jesus' name, to not sin anymore, but to live for Him. And when we blow it, thank God we have an advocate. We have a defense lawyer. We can go to Jesus and we can ask for forgiveness. But forgiveness is more, amen, than just saying, I'm sorry. I have to repent of my sin. Folks, when it seems years ago when people got saved, they got saved. You stopped sinning. I mean, you weren't perfect and you made mistakes, but your heart was changed and you could no longer enjoy the pleasure of sin. And today it seems like there's so much of this where people are claiming to be followers of Jesus, to be born again Christians, and they live sinful lives. God is not mocked. Amen. Folks, this is the message that people need to hear. Is the spirit of Elijah. God is saying, prepare the way, because the coming of the Lord is drawing near and He is coming. Make your path straight. Make straight path for your feet. Amen. In other words, that which is crooked, get it straightened out. If it's out of the way, get it in the way with Him. Well, I don't like that. I'm just going to go to this church over here. They tell me everything I want to hear. Well, if the blind follow the blind, they both fall in the ditch together. Don't follow after what people tell you. Don't follow after what I tell you. What does God say? Yes. What does Jesus teach? Yes. Folks, if we live for God, if we truly live for Jesus, if we live to exalt His name, it's going to require persecution. It's going to mean that you're not going to be the most popular kid on the block, that not everybody's going to like your church. Come on, only the people that love God are going to love this church. Why? Because it's our desire and it's our goal to preach what God preaches. Amen? To do what God does. We don't want to be just hearers of the word. There's too much of that. There's too many sleeping in the light today. Just doing the church thing, playing church. I love what Madi does because she gets out among the people and among the student body. And they're making an impact. Amen? And we're all in this together. We're working this thing together for Jesus. It's not about our church. It's not about my name. I don't need to put my name on anything. I want Jesus to be exalted. Amen. That's what it's all about. Because soon and very soon we're going to see Him. We're going to see the King. There won't be any time, folks, when we see Jesus to go back and change anything. Amen. To get anything straight. Now is the time. Today is the day to get your life right with God, to get your house in order, because the King of Kings is coming. As it was in the days of Noah. It's time to get on the ark. It's time to listen to the voice of God, what He's saying. Amen. Come on the ark. Escape the wrath of God. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed, 1 John 3:2, what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him does what? Just as He is pure. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that He, Christ, was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him there is no sin. You know, as Pentecostals, we love to see, amen, the demonstration of God's Spirit and power. We love to see miracles and healings, and you know, God is in that. However, folks, what is missing today is holiness. People are not holy. They're not right with God, and they want power, but they don't want purity. In order for us to have authority, we've got to be under authority. We've got to be under God's rulership, amen, in order to have authority to defeat the enemy. That means we need to listen to His word. We need to do what He says. I've never been disappointed when I've obeyed the Lord. Even when it seemed like it was the price to pay at the time. You know, I'd rather do this, God, but do I really need to? Do I have to? Well, I've just said, okay, Lord, it's not up to me anymore. I'm going to do what You say. Sometimes God will ask you to do something that's scary. That's where you learn to trust Him. You learn that His power, His grace is sufficient for you in every situation. All you got to do is say, yes, Lord. But when we say no, we're trying to save ourselves and we fall from grace. That is arrogance. That is pride. And God will not bless pride. But when we humble ourselves and we say, yes, Lord, I'm not going to do it my way. I'm going to do it Your way. Then God gives His grace to the humble. And He lifts the humble up and He gives them victory. Amen. They actually, what they do is they walk in His victory. As we walk in Him, we walk in His victory. Righteousness is not something we achieve. It's what we receive. When we receive Christ, we receive His righteousness. And I'm not talking about a decision you made 20 years ago, as we think that's soul insurance. No, no. To receive Christ means, to, like He said, to take up your cross and follow Him. Unless you abide in Me, and My word abides in you, you can do zero. It's called living a new life. I'm done with the old. I'm in the new. I'm no longer coddling the sin nature. I'm no longer trying to pacify it or appease it. I'm killing it every day and say, no, I'm going to walk with Jesus. And when I decide to walk with Jesus, He sees my heart and I'm under His authority. And when I'm under His authority, I have authority. And the enemy knows those who know who they are in Christ. And the enemy will be afraid of you. Isn't it true that too many Christians are afraid of the devil? Why? Because they don't understand the authority in Christ. That's why we should have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. That old nature of ours doesn't give up easily, does it? It always wants to rule the house. It's by grace that we are saved. It's by grace that we overcome. I want to just quote this again. I heard this a while back and I thought it was good. But I believe this, folks, with all my heart. This is the reality of the gospel of Jesus Christ, not the gospel that's popular. You're not ready for Jesus until you're done with sin. See, a lot of people come to Jesus, but they're not really done with sin. They just want the benefit, or they want their forgiveness, but they're not done with sin. You're really not ready for Jesus until you come to the end of yourself. The prodigal was not ready to return home until he came to his senses. He woke up and said, "What am I doing here? I don't want anything to do with this place ever again. I repent. I am facing towards home. I am setting my sights on Jesus. I'm going home." He's the author. He's the finisher. He's the finishing line. He's the joy that's waiting at the end. I'm looking at Him. And I'm coming back, Lord. Amen. So let's not throw out any artificial security blankets. Sometimes, you know, you just got to let people, turn them over to the devil. How many of you have done it? You've tried, you struggled, you've done all this, all you can do for somebody, and they're still bent on having their own way. Folks, all you can do is just let them go and say, "God, I give them to You." Because sometimes, folks, it takes the devil, are you hearing me, to beat somebody up enough to where they wake up. That was me. I was beat up to the point where I woke up and said, "What? How did I end up here? I never intended to be in this place." Just start out with having a little fun. Came to his senses. And what did he do? He repented. He left the old life behind and he ran to his father. He says, and what happened? The father saw him a great distance off and he came running. Do you know God's not going to come running until you're ready? You know, we asked a young lady the other day, you know, if she wanted to be baptized. And I didn't sense that she was ready, that she really made that decision, you know, and was done with sin. And she says, "No, I'm not ready." You know what? God bless her for being honest. Amen. Because there's so many people that say, "Yeah, I'm ready." And they go into baptism and they don't understand what they're really doing. You know, and we make it very clear that this is it. This is a rite of passage. You're burying the old. You're going to walk in new life. You can't go back. You can't turn back. That, amen. There's not going to be anything to go back to except death. And if you want to walk in life, you're going to have to deny that part of you that wants to drag along, amen, and resurrect itself every day. You just have to keep starving out that part of you. Don't give it any attention. Don't feed that part of you that rebels against what God says. Instead, feed your faith. Fill up on Jesus. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not gratify the sin nature. You can't live in two worlds. You cannot be double-minded. Either you're in Christ or you're in Adam. You walk in Christ or you walk in Adam. You can't live both worlds. It's double-mindedness, and a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. So we have to decide. Today, the day of salvation, understanding that even those who refuse and those who mock and those who laugh and those who scorn and those who label you and won't allow you in their company. They're only doing you a favor anyways. But, you know, but those who laugh and scorn now are also going to be before the King of Kings someday. And I don't know about you, but if nobody likes me, I know God likes me. I know that God loves me. You know, He likes me, He loves me, right? And if my heart's right with Him, that's what matters. And if you live for Jesus, folks, you're going to be lied about. You're going to be persecuted. People are not going to treat you right. But God is not looking at them and saying, oh, how dare you do that? What He's saying is, what are you going to do about it? How are you going to handle this one? Are you going to be like me, like Jesus? Say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We can't do that except by the Spirit, except by the grace of God, because we humble ourselves and we're willing to take on the form of a servant just like Jesus and to do the will of our Father, to live a selfless life so that we may gain Christ. Amen. In all eternity, hallelujah, to rejoice. And the day is coming. He said, with those who have served me, I will have them to sit down at my table. And I will gird myself and I will serve them. And oh God, I'll be like Peter. God, don't serve me. I'm just thankful. I'm just thankful that God has mercy and has had mercy on me. And I want to serve Jesus the rest of my life. Amen. I've lived enough in the past and the will of the flesh and of men and pleasing people. And folks, the church needs to be evangelized. The church needs to repent of people pleasing and get back to what God says in His Word. Tremble at the Word of God. I say this, but I'd rather have 12 disciples of Jesus that are really walking with Jesus than a whole crowd of people that are wishy-washy, lukewarm, and on their way to hell. Without me, you can do nothing. If we do not abide in Jesus, He's very clear, you will be just like the branch that is disconnected from the source of life. It withers. It falls. And it's gathered and it's burned. It's useless. Do you understand that Adamic nature, that old nature that we have still, is worthless. It is completely worthless. It can produce no fruit. The only thing that God accepts is the fruit of the Spirit as we abide in Him. Hallelujah. I want to know You is my prayer. And the song we sing, I want to know You, Lord. I really want to know the true Jesus. Amen. Not the false Jesus. Not the God that people fashion for themselves, but the true Jesus. I want to know Him. If it doesn't look like Jesus, throw it out. There's all kinds of gospel today that doesn't look anything like Jesus. If it doesn't look like Jesus, it's false. We're following Him. Amen? Because without His grace, it's impossible to overcome the world, the flesh of the devil. But we can do all things through Christ.